From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 21 and verse 12. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. In these words, the believer is invited to a holy nearness to Jesus. Come and dine implies the same table, the same meat. Aye, and sometimes it means to sit side by side and lean our head upon the Savior's bosom. It is being brought into the banqueting house where waves the banner of redeeming love. Come and dine gives us a vision of union with Jesus, because the only food that we can feast upon when we dine with Jesus is Himself. Oh, what union is this! It is a depth which reason cannot fathom, that we thus feed upon Jesus. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. It is also an invitation to enjoy fellowship with the saints. Christians may differ on a variety of points, but they have all one spiritual appetite. And if we cannot all feel alike, we can all feed alike on the bread of life sent down from heaven. At the table of fellowship with Jesus, we are one bread and one cup. As the loving cup goes round, we pledge one another heartily therein. Get nearer to Jesus, and you will find yourself linked more and more in spirit to all who are like yourself, supported by the same heavenly manna. If we were more near to Jesus, we should be more near to one another. We likewise see in these words the source of strength for every Christian. To look at Christ is to live, but for strength to serve Him, you must come and dine. We labor under much unnecessary weakness on account of neglecting this precept of the Master. We none of us need to put ourselves on low diet. On the contrary, we should fatten on the marrow and fatness of the gospel, that we may accumulate strength therein, and urge every power to its full tension in the Master's service. Thus, then, if you would realize nearness to Jesus, union with Jesus, love to His people, and strength from Jesus, come and dine with Him by faith.
Yeah.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. In this series, In the Law of God, Dr. Cairns is now dealing with each of the Ten Commandments in individual messages. Today he commences treatment of the second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." At the heart of this commandment is God's own instructions as to how he is to be worshipped. There is here a clear and unequivocal prohibition of any man-made likeness of the deity. This is not a condemnation of art per se, but it is a ban on the creation of anything that is to be worshipped or venerated as if it were a representation of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said that God is a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Sacred pictures or images open the way to idolatry, a sin for which Israel paid dearly. Now to introduce this message on the second commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
This is the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen. Again, the Lord will bless this reading of this word to our hearts. The language of the second commandment is intentionally very, very solemn. Its terms are deliberately blunt and uncompromising. On reading it, you can have no doubt as to its meaning. It's plain, it's simple, it's clear, and its meaning and message are utterly unavoidable. And yet, this commandment is almost universally unacceptable to men. There's something in man that rebels against all the commandments of God, but there's something that particularly resents this commandment. And so you will find it flaunted all over the world. And tonight, despite all that God has said about images, their production, and their veneration, we find that images are just as prevalent within Christendom as they are within heathendom. Now, this is a very dangerous act of rank disobedience to God. The Lord has attached to this second commandment some terrible sanctions. Indeed, if you read all 10 commandments, you'll discover that the second commandment has attached to it more severe statements of judgment than any other commandment that God has given us here. His justice, we learn here, has very severe punishments for all those who make images or who bow down before images. And so we would do very well to take very, very careful note of what the Lord has to say in this second commandment. However, for the Christian, there's a much stronger reason for studying the second commandment. Because here we not only learn the curse of God on image worship, but we also learn from God how to worship Him acceptably. That is the heart of the meaning of the second commandment. Some people find it difficult to distinguish between the thrust of the first commandment and the thrust of the second commandment. The Roman Catholic Church, for example, plays on that difficulty to bring them both into one, so that in many of her catechisms she can leave out reference to the second commandment altogether, though it is in her translations of the Scriptures and in certain other documents. But it's all the first commandment to Rome. And in order to make up 10, she then splits the 10th commandment in a most foolish and unwarrantable way. But some people find it difficult to note the difference in thrust between the first commandment and the second. The first commandment deals with idolatry as such. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment deals with the worship of God particularly. And the commandment here is not that we're not to worship false gods, that's the first commandment, but that we're not even to worship the true God in a false way. That's the real thrust of the second commandment. I may sum up its truth very simply. The Lord has blessed His people by revealing to them how He desires to be worshipped. I want you to understand that, for that's the positive meaning of the commandment. The Lord has revealed to His people how He desires to be worshipped. And He limits legitimate worship to His prescribed way, and threatens the most awful judgments on those who would idolatrously depart from His law. To put all that in one very simple, catchy statement, I think we could say simply that the Lord bans images, icons, and idols from His worship. And if we learn nothing else tonight, let us learn this well: that human imagery, human imagination, and human ingenuity have no place whatsoever in the solemn business of man's approach to God. Now, as we look at the second commandment, we will notice first that it gives us a sweeping prohibition. We are told, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The graven image, the word would refer mostly to a work of sculpture. The idea is of anything carved or chiseled. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness. That takes you beyond sculpture. That may be by painting or by any other form of art. Any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. It's a sweeping prohibition. Now, the subject of this prohibition is not sculpture or art generally. The Lord is not saying that all sculpture, all art, all painting, all photography is wrong. It's not the direction that this commandment is taking. It is a commandment that is dealing solely with the sphere of worship, whether public or private. And that's plain from the next verse. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. In other words, what this commandment is dealing with is the unauthorized use of images. Let me indeed extend the wording there slightly. The unauthorized use of art in the worship of the Lord. This commandment prohibits the making of any image or any likeness of anything in heaven, in earth, or under the earth. It prohibits venerating, bowing down before, praying to, venerating such an image. And third, it prohibits serving such an image. Now, the law of God is very, very clear in this. And this is something that is mentioned and reiterated in the Scriptures with great force. We have read tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 4. We covered the passage through verse 15 through to verse 19, where the Lord says you're to take good heed to yourselves. He reminds them that when He revealed Himself on Mount Sinai, in the flame and the fire of the Holy Mount, He did not reveal Himself under any physical similitude. He didn't show Himself in any shape that they could replicate. And He says, since I did not reveal Myself to you in any such physical manifestation, take very, very good heed to yourselves that you do not make any artistic impression, whether male or female or beast. That is Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Leviticus chapter 26, the opening two verses, the Lord says, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land, to bow down unto it. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep My Sabbaths and reverence My sanctuary. I am the Lord. In Leviticus 19:4, He says, turn ye not to idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. We have been reading tonight from Exodus chapter 20. Later in that chapter, at verse 23, the Lord says, and notice the wording, ye shall not make with Me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And then He goes beyond that and He comes to the altar. He says, the altar shall be an altar of earth. And He says, I will come and I will bless thee. He says, if you make an altar of stone, it must be of uncut stones. If you lift up the tool of man upon the altar of God, thou hast polluted it. That's a very wide-ranging statement. When the tool of man's art or man's skill is raised, whether to chisel out an image or to paint a picture or to make an altar, God says that tool of man pollutes the worship of Jehovah. Deuteronomy 27, we read of that great occasion when the children of Israel, Moses of course was prophesying this, we studied some time ago in Joshua how it came to pass in history, in the days of Joshua. But he was prophesying how when they would come into the land, they would come to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And six of the tribes would stand at Mount Gerizim and six at Mount Ebal. And there the blessings and the curses of the law would be read out. And those in Mount Gerizim would say amen to every blessing. And those in Mount Ebal would say amen to every cursing. Now Deuteronomy 27:15 says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Notice the force of this. Until now, the emphasis has been on public worship. Now the Lord comes into the secret chamber of the home. And he says the same rule is in place. And it is an abomination to practice this in the secrecy of the home, not only in the public place of worship. Through the Old Testament, there are many multiplied expressions of this law of God. In the New Testament, we find it reiterated. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Doesn't it seem strange that he's writing that to a Christian church? He said the Jews, even in the days of Moses, because of their imagery, were guilty of idolatry. And then the Christian church, he's warning, it is possible to be guilty of idolatry. And he says, flee from idolatry.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.